You are making the world a better place by listening to the Joy of Living podcast. This is your guide to achieving a more purposeful, powerful, and positive life. Join Barry Shore in unlocking the best version of you and becoming happier, healthier, and wealthier. And now, here's your ambassador of joy, Barry Shore.
Good day, beautiful, bountiful, beloved, immortal beings, and good-looking people. Remember, you're good-looking because you're always looking for and finding the good. And we have good in abundance. Our cup runneth over with good. Wait till you hear and be transformed by the amazing person we're bringing to today. As you know, in this particular show, The Joy of Living, we work here with the three fundamentals of life. And when you use these three fundamentals of life, you will be happier, healthier, and wealthier. And who doesn't want that? At this very moment, you have tuned in for one reason only, and it's the best reason, by the way. You tuned in because you're caring the most about the entire world, about you, Y-O-U-E-W-E. That's great, by the way, because when you become the best you, you make the world a better place. You build more bridges of harmony. You create more joy, happiness, peace, and love. And right now, you are joined by over 348,627 people around the world. And by the time we bring on our amazing guest, Mr. Rabbi Moise Navon, there'll be over 360,000+ people. And wait till you get a taste of what's going to happen today. So as I said, the three fundamentals. Number one fundamental of life is life has purpose. And when you lead a purpose-driven life, number two happens. Now, in this case, a good number two. Number two is you can go mad. You lead a purpose-driven life, you go mad. MAD is an acronym that stands for make a difference. Lead a purpose-driven life, you make a difference in the world. And the third fundamental of life is to uncover the power and the secrets of everyday words and terms. Everyday words and terms. Simple example. WWW. Right now, this show you're either watching or listening to is carried through that magical, mystical, magnificent platform called the internet. And all over the world, people can access it. And if you ask anybody, what does WWW stand for? And then invariably people tell you it has to do with the internet. And factually speaking, they're correct. But in our world, the world of the positive, purposeful, powerful, and pleasant, WWW stands for What a Wonderful World. And what a is a word, W-H-E-T-A. What a wonderful world. Of course, a tip of the hat and a big thank you to Louis Armstrong, Satchmo, for enabling that song to go viral and touch not just tens of millions or hundreds of millions, but billions of people around the planet. Whenever you hear the opening bars of What a Wonderful World, what do you do right away? You can't help it. You smile. Now, smile is one of the most important words you could ever internalize, utilize, and leverage in your life, because SMILE is an acronym that stands for Seeing Miracles in Life Every Day. Seeing miracles in life every day. So just quick story. Before the pandemic, and God willing, it'll go away again. You forget all about this another year or two. So I'm speaking to a group of about 5,200 people, real people, you know, in a room without a mask and no worries about stuff. And I'm telling the story about Barry Shore, and I'm talking about seeing miracles in life every day. And people raising their hands are going to say, hey, Barry Shore, I've been up for hours already. I haven't seen any miracles. And I asked them, are you here? Can you hear? Can you see? Can you stand still? I can't. Can you walk? I can barely do that. You have water to drink, food to eat, a place to sleep, family, friends. Every single one of those is a miracle. And what's the simple proof? Simplest proof of all. 1 million people didn't get out of bed this morning. You know why? They died. Now, if you're watching or listening to this, by definition, you're here. And therefore, you have an obligation to live life exuberantly. So let me tell you a quick story. Imagine the following, standing up in the morning, hale and hearty, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound, and that evening being in the hospital, totally, completely paralyzed. Not from an automobile accident, not a spinal injury, a rare disease, which I never heard of the day before, took over my body and rendered me a quadriplegic. Nothing on my body moved. Nothing. 144 days in hospital. I was in a wheelchair on my own. I mean, I was in a hospital bed in my own home for 2 years. I couldn't turn over by myself. I was in a wheelchair for 4 years. I had braces on both my legs, my hips to my ankles, and that was progress. Thank God today I'm able to be vertical and ambulatory with the help of a 7-foot walking wand. So I'm a triped, not a biped. I still can't walk up a stair by myself. I can't walk up a curb by myself. And I've helped 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. But you hear my voice, positive, purposeful, powerful, and pleasant, all because of this one word, smile, seeing miracles in life every day. But I got to tell you, just a couple weeks ago, my 8-year-old niece comes over to me and says, Uncle Barry, can we spell smile, S-M-I-E-L? And I thought about it. Smile, sounds the same. Why not? I asked her, how come? She says, because then it would stand for seeing miracles in everyday life. Out of the mouth of babes, right? But what was she doing? She was creating the kind of world she wants to live in. CREATE is a fabulous acronym that stands for causing, rethinking, enabling all to excel. Thank God you have a brain. Your brain has 100 billion brain cells and more than 120 trillion synapses connecting them all. And they're therefore more than considering what kind of latte you want this morning. The ability to do neuro-linguistic programming and to use the 6 most important words in the English language, and they are choice. Not chance determines your destiny. Choice, not chance, determines your destiny. Now, before we bring on our amazing guest, Rabbi Moses Navon, I want to warn everybody in advance, especially Rabbi, that I do use a lot of 4-letter words. I even use the 4-letter F-U word, and I do it because of the shock value and it's fun. Now, of course, the 4-letter words that we use, because we live in the world of the positive, purposeful, powerful, and pleasant, 4-letter words we use are love, life, hope, grow, free, pray, play, swim, good. And the 4-letter F-U word is fun. Fun. Yes. F-U, capital N, capital N. And right away, people are saying, hey, Barry Shore, fun's only spelled with 3 letters. Not in our world. The world of the positive, purposeful, powerful, and pleasant. Fun is spelled F-U, capital N, capital N. So after the show, when you see your family and friends, you have a twinkle in your eye, you smile on your face, whatever that stands for, you point your finger and say, F-U, everybody. Remember to add right away, capital N, capital N. Say, where'd you get that? Say, I listen to The Joy of Living with Barry Shore. And it's a great way to open up and ask what it was that all about. And now you can tell them the amazing transformative information that you're going to be hearing and learning about. So before we bring on wonderful Rabbi Moses Navon, I'm going to urge everybody to use the 2 most powerful words in the English language 3 times a day from now for the rest of your life. When you use these 2 most powerful words, you're going to affect the benefit for you, your family, your friends, and the whole world. And these 2 words are thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank stands for to harmonize and network kindness. To harmonize and network kindness. The Dalai Lama has been quoted as saying, I read in his writings, be kind whenever possible. As he says, it's always possible. So imagine you go into your coffee shop again, no mass, everything's finished, good. You order your fancy latte, you sit down, somebody brings it to you. You say, thank you. You walk in the coffee shop, you order a fancy latte, you sit down, a few minutes go, nobody brings it to you. You go to the counter and say, oh, I'm sorry, we forgot, we're busy, we'll bring it to you. You sit down, a couple of minutes go by, somebody brings it, you say, thank you. You're walking out of the coffee shop, it's raining out. Somebody holds the door open for you. You say, thank you. You're walking out of the coffee shop. It's raining out. And somebody slams the door on you. You say, thank you. You're stuck in traffic. You're late for an appointment. Somebody cuts you off. You say, thank you. You get up in the middle of the night and you stub your toe and it hurts. You say, thank you. To harmonize and network kindness. Kind is a fabulous acronym that stands for keep inspiring noble deeds. I can't think of anybody that I want to share with you that inspires noble deeds more than the amazing, the wonderful, fantastic Rabbi Moses Navon. Moses, please say hello to 362,819 people around the world.
Hello.
He's low-key. He's an engineer. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But if I started telling you all the amazing things about Rabbi Moses Navon, we'll drop the rabbi for the moment. It would take up the rest of the hour, so I'm not going to. But I'm just going to tell you 3 quick data points. Number 1, he is a God-centered engineer. Number 2, his engineering has given him a path from the JPL, Jet Propulsion Laboratory in California, to a place in Israel called Mobileye. So he is literally a driving force, and that's an intended pun, a driving force in the autonomous vehicle revolution. And number three, he is deeply involved in what we call, for want of a better term, ancient wisdom. It's the Torah. But to the world, it's ancient wisdom, literally handed down from the Creator to humanity to enable us to live both physically, mentally, and spiritually fulfilled lives. So that is an introduction, wonderful Moise. Let's jump right in and talk about you as a God-centered engineer and what you did and are doing with this thing called the autonomous vehicle revolution.
Okay, I mean, in terms of the engineering, so I designed a chip that basically is the platform for all the algorithms that do the image processing and do the control of the vehicle. That's the engineering side. I would say the God-centered side is that I'm doing it in the middle of Jerusalem, and I'm trying to help, you know, all the Jews that are here be proud of their heritage and connect to the values that we've been carrying around with us for thousands of years.
This is wonderful. So let's talk a little bit more about Mobileye, not as a company, but as a spearhead of the autonomous vehicle revolution, because it touches deeply on the ethical aspects. Now, obviously, people go into business with a profit motive, but you have demonstrated that profit is spelled two ways, P-R-O-F-I-T and P-R-O-P-H-E-T. So because you want to be a prophetic prophet of profit, what we want to do is seeing this large, how should we even call it, this big hulking piece of metal, a lot of it's plastic these days, but still traveling along at a very high speed, some even if it's only 30 miles an hour, up to 60, 70, 80, and causing potentially all kinds of havoc. And yet what Mobileye does is literally saves lives. In other words, it is the forerunner of that which will probably be existing on the roads within the next decade or two that will enable not just driverless cars, which in itself is quite futuristic, but the ability to save lives and therefore create more benefit in life. So talk to us about this autonomous vehicle revolution. And is it real, Moise, or is it still science fiction?
Right. Okay. So first of all, let's talk about the real. On the road today, there's a thing called ADAS, Advanced Driving Assistance Systems. And those basically mean that we can do all kinds of control in the car in order to already save lives. So for example, there's a thing called AEB, Automatic Emergency Braking. If we see that there's an accident about to happen, we put on the brakes. And that has already been in cars for, I don't know, like at least 10 years. And now, I mean, very, very slowly. But today, we just celebrated the 100 millionth chip. There are 100 million cars driving with this system in it, which puts on the brakes before an accident happens. It does what's known as LKA, Lane Keeping Assist. It keeps you in your lane. Many times accidents happen because people drift out of their lane. This keeps the car in the lane unless you signal and unless you make a move on your steering wheel. There's many other features. Amnon Shashua is currently the CEO and one of the founders of the company at the celebration said that there's probably no other organization in the world that is saving as many lives as Mobileye today. That's insane. And that's already before autonomous vehicles. Now, autonomous vehicles have what are known as five levels. So level one, two is these driver assistance systems. And then level three allows you to take more control of the car people are taking less control. And finally, level five is really what everybody imagines is the science fiction where you basically go to sleep or eat or watch a movie and you get to where you need to go. Level five is definitely in the works and is being worked on today. I personally can't take a guess, but I can tell you what the people in the industry are saying. They're looking at 2035, 2040, something like that. I read an analysis of the RAND Corporation, and they did a study, and they said, you know, how good do these autonomous vehicles need to be before it's worth putting them on the road? You know, do they need to be almost as good as people, better than people? How much better? Basically, they found out that the minute we get people out of the car, meaning away from the driving, the steering wheel and the driving right. controls, we will start saving lives, no matter how bad the technology is. Now, of course, we're not going to put it on the road with the technology not being as perfect as it can, because, you know, people have already become accustomed to having people kill people in cars. They're not accustomed, and they won't tolerate computers killing people in cars. And so we need to be orders of magnitude better than people before we're going to put these on the road. But we are definitely on the road to doing that. I mean, there's many, many multiple sensors that are being designed, and there's many people and many corporations that are working on it. And we're close.
So let's just unpack, because you gave a lot of acronyms. So by the way, for those people who are joined us regularly, we have over 350,000 people every week, and now we're up to almost 370,000 today, Moise. You don't have to remember anything he said. Just go to my website, barryshore.com. All the information about Moise and everything he's doing and such will all be there. So you don't have to write it down feverishly. Remember what he say, we say. And of course, what we'd like you to do is share this with five people. That's it. Not 50, not 100. Okay, if you want to do that, it's fine. But everybody share with five people. That way we're touching 1.5 million people, because what you're hearing here is transformative. You see, information by itself is just data. What is the key is, how do you transform data into the ability to be of service on the planet? And that's really what Moise is about, what Mobileye is about, with a profit motive. You see, I think I read in something that you said, Moise, or wrote, that car manufacturers care about making money. That's all they care about. Okay, narrow niche, that's up to them. And people care about not killing people, but it's up to them. What we want to do, of course, is to maximize this transport system, because that's really what a car is, and make people aware that this is just as useful and beneficial as their laptop or their cell phone. In other words, their smartphone is a computer. Nobody has any problems about using that. Matter of fact, they use it too much while they're driving. They text and they drive. Well, we want to make people aware of that the car is not a car. It's a computer. As you said, you know, we can't tolerate computers killing people or injuring people. Humans can do it, but not computers. So the genius of what you're doing, and that's why I asked Moise and kindly gave us his time, is because Moise has fused, and I happen to like fusion more than fission, fused together this remarkable process called, what, for want of a better term, ethics with the technological evolution or revolution. Because it's really an evolution. It's been going on for hundreds of years. And that's really what you're about, and what I think everything that you focus on is about, is that how do we integrate? They're not in any way contradictory, and they're not like oil and water. They are, in fact, more of great vinaigrette to infuse together the vision of the world as a created place with humans, literally designed by the creator, the greatest engineer of all, to be able to bring about that which everybody wants, which is peace, happiness, joy, and love. So let's speak more about you and your personal journey and how it integrates with the highest level of technology.
Okay, so I mean, first I'd like to touch on a couple of things that you mentioned. Number one is, you know, the car as a transport vehicle, and how does that compare to your computer? I read recently that somebody called the autonomous vehicle revolution the most disruptive technology to hit humanity. Okay, we can argue whether that's true or not true, but what for somebody to say that means that it's going to be doing a lot of changes in the world that you can't even imagine. I mean, it's going to affect real estate. If you can go at the speed of, I mean, why do we have speed limits today? We have speed limits because people can get into accidents because they're not looking, because they need to be in control. And so they have to do that at a speed limit. Cars that are run by computers don't need those limits. They see everything 1 inch in front of them, 2 feet on the side of them, 10 miles in front of them. They know everything. They're talking to all the cars around them. they can drive 200 miles an hour. There's no problem. So now if you can drive 200 miles an hour, you can live much farther from the city center and get there in half the time that you do today. So, I mean, it's going to affect real estate. It's going to affect the whole industry of law and insurance. It's going to affect transportation. People are going to stop taking airplanes for these short leaps of 5 hours because you can take a car. And so you don't have to deal with the interaction of getting to the airport and leaving the airport. The list goes on. But of course, the number one reason is, like we said, is saving lives. You know, the World Health Organization puts the number at 1.25 million people die on the roads every year. That's 3,400 people a day. And so that's going to completely change. I'm an optimist. We'll reduce it to zero. It's not going to be zero. There will still be people that will run in the streets and some bug and so forth. But we're talking about orders of magnitude less than that number. And so what I wanted to just say with this is that the car is a completely transformative industry. It's not just like a computer. It's far more, and it's going to touch people in ways that they couldn't even imagine. And so that's really, I think, the main point that I wanted to say from what you had mentioned before. Oh, so now are we in?
Let me put you on pause just a moment, because I want to narrow it down to, like you said, the human condition.
Yeah.
In addition to people being able to go faster, safer, and more economic, because we may have a fuel that might be different also. But let's talk about the bane of existence of cars on the road. Traffic! Correct. I'm imagining that by definition, if the chip can do all this, not the chip, but all of the processes, that there won't be this traffic jams. In other words, you'll have flowing in Lahavdil, say, look like the human body. You know, you don't have a traffic jam with blood in your heart, unless, of course, you have a stoppage and such. But that's a rare thing. But you'll have things flowing. In other words, the ability to service not just industries, but city centers. In other words, trucks. Talk of the ability for things to deliver. So everything changes.
Right. Not only that, the cost of goods is going to go down. If you can have trucks driving 24/7 across the country. So now you don't, and at a fraction of the cost, you don't have a driver, you don't have hotel stops, you don't have gas. I mean, everything changes. Okay. They're talking about freight training trucks one after the other. So you have all the wind resistance. And so that reduces the cost as well. I mean, we can go on and on about it, but I wanted to touch on the point that you said about ethics. And so, there's definitely no contradiction. As a matter of fact, ethics, religion, you know, Einstein, I think, said it very well. I love to quote him. He said, science or religion without science is blind, but science without religion is lame. And what he's saying is that science can tell us, you know, what we can do, but not how we should do it and not why we should do it. And so those come from religion that gives us a purpose, a meaning, and religion has expanded out into what's called ethics, right? They're secular ethics, or because Nietzsche declared God dead, and so people are trying to come up with their own ethics. That's a different story. But in any case, you need ethics to guide technology. And that's actually one of the things that I'm working on right now, is I'm putting together a university course on the ethics of artificial intelligence and big data. And there are huge, huge questions that are coming up. You know, how do we regulate this? How should we regulate this? What is the right thing to do with all of this technology?
So let's just touch on a couple of things you mentioned. The ability for driverless trucks on the road 24/7. So I was born in an area, again, we have a worldwide audience, you have to look it up, in a place called New England. And New England, in the wintertime, has snow, and it's cold, and the roads are broken up, and there's all kinds of stuff. Are you telling us that with the capabilities that you see at the moment, and let's look, project 5, 10, 15 years if we can, that even under what we'll call harsh conditions, that still in all, these transport devices will be much safer and much more capable than they are than with drivers?
Okay. I mean, first of all, I think that any technology that we put on the road is going to be safer than drivers. People, air is human, right? And they err all the time. So, no, I think that the amount of errors that could happen in a computer that's been completely debugged and so forth are far less. Now, in terms of harsh conditions, basically that relates not so much to the control of the car, but to the sensors that are being used in the car. So, we need to be able to see through fog. We need to be able to see through clouds. We need to be able to see through rain and snow and all that kind of stuff. So there are many different types of sensors. One of the sensors that I have some friends that are developing is called SWIR, soft shortwave infrared. Shortwave infrared is used by the military. It's used by in different places. It basically allows you to see through fogs and clouds of dust in ways that you can't see it visually. So those sensors are being developed. Now, in terms of the snow on the ground, so now that's less of an issue of sensors as it is an issue of, you know, traction and being able to drive, right? I mean, in terms of being able to map ourselves, so we have GPSs and we have all the sensors, and so we know where we are. But, you know, can a truck drive through the snow? Those are mechanical issues that will, you know, you put on chains or whatever, or there might be too much snow and so a car can't go through it. But that's less related to the computing and sensing and controlling aspect.
Thank you for delineating so we have an idea, because again, I grew up in those conditions. So when I think about it, that's what it is. You have to
correct. I mean, I just wanted to mention that I have a friend at MIT that they're working on a sensor that they can see through the snow. They can see the ground through the snow. So again, you can see, but can you move the vehicle there? That's a mechanical question.
By the way, going just on a tangent, only because I love this particular thoughtful individual from decades back. His name is Buckminster Fuller. And to the people in the world, we call him Bucky. But I don't know if you ever read any of his stuff or have seen anything. You don't even know Bucky Fuller?
I do not. Oh. Sorry.
Luis, I'm happy to give you this gift. Buckminster Fuller. But one of the reasons I mention is because in the 1930s, he built a car called the Dymaxion car, which worked with three wheels. It was designed with three wheels, and you could shift those three wheels so you could park in a space going sideways.
Interesting.
Now, there were many reasons why it didn't catch on, and one of them happened to be that tire manufacturers didn't like him because you just took away a quarter of my product. That's a different story. But I'm just saying, thank God there are many things. Now, let's just talk about the most obvious one today, which is a Tesla. So what, you know, this is really fun because the richest human being in the planet, richer than anybody in the history of the world, became the richest person. As he says, he didn't invent the electric car. He reinvented it. It was the forerunner before the internal combustion engine. There was an electric car because it made more sense. You had Edison, you had Tesla, et cetera, et cetera. But what Elon Musk was able to do was to reinvent the process and begin the transformational process, which you're spearheading now with Mobileye and the autonomous vehicle situation, because really what it did is it now put into the minds of most human beings, well, yeah, look what's possible. In other words, with cloud computing and the ability to have in your hand a device called a smartphone that is more powerful than any computer from 30 years ago, nobody would have dreamed of it, and a Tesla and Google pushing their autonomous vehicles. So it's now becoming not just in science fiction, it is on the ground and it's real. And like you just said, 100 million Mobileye chips out in the world.
I would like to make a distinction though. You know, the electric vehicle definitely is coming. And I mean, as you know, obviously Tesla is selling and they're here. And when will we be completely electric is an issue of infrastructure and so forth, but that's definitely where the industry is going. However, that's a separate technology than Mobileye's control or Google's control of the car, right? Mm-hmm. There's the control aspect where I don't care if we're using a steam engine, right?
Right.
We're basically providing the sensors and the control and making sure that we're going where we need to go. The engine, whether it's a combustion engine or electric engine, is something completely separate. It turns out that you're 100% right, that they're being developed in parallel, and they'll both probably hit around the same time. When I mean hit, I mean that they'll be ubiquitous throughout the world, and people won't have combustion engines, and they won't be pressing on the steering, on the gas and brakes and steering wheel themselves.
Right. And this convergence, by the way, is so wonderful because it is bringing to the forefront in people's minds the possibility. That's the genius of it. It's the possibility. Look, I'm 73 years on this planet. When we were kids, let's say 16, when I first got my license, we all dreamed about, wouldn't it be cool if you get on the road and we could just turn our seats around and we could talk like you're in a car on a train. That was always the idea. So everybody, we thought about it, but Dick Tracy had a watch also, but you don't even know Dick Tracy. That's a different story.
Correct.
I'll tell you what, everybody is, I got so many questions people want to ask and such, but we're going to take just a quick break because we have sponsors that love us and that love to support the show. So we're going to be right back with more Moïse Navon and insights into the future about God, technology, and life. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these brief messages. Hi, everybody. Barry Shore here, the ambassador of joy. We've entered into the fall season, and fall means coming up to winter, holidays, all kinds of stuff, not just stuff, stress, S-T-R-E-S-S. I've spoken about stress many times on the show, and with stress coming on with the holiday season, everybody wants to be happy and such, but everybody knows what's going on. I want to talk to you about something really important for your benefit. It's called TalkSpace, TalkSpace. TalkSpace.com. This is an online therapy program, show, website, and it's available for you. It is so important for you to be involved. You all know my story. Standing up in the morning, hale and hearty, in the evening, quadriplegic. Okay, nobody has to go through something that drastic to know that speaking to somebody, a professional licensed therapist, can be of benefit. I know it's true. It helped me. It can help you. This is so easy to do. You are talking about secure professional process. It's the number one online therapy platform in the country. It works around your schedule, your convenience. I urge you, please match yourself with a licensed therapist. Go to TalkSpace.com, TalkSpace, TalkSpace.com. Get $100 off your first month with the promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. Go to TalkSpace.com, put in the promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, and you'll get $100 off your first month. Please do it. You'll thank me. Best wishes. Bye now. Imagine the kind of place you would want to shop for your favorite fur baby pet. HonestPets.co. Well, you found it. HonestPets.co. Not .com, .co. This is your go-to spot for the best, the cleanest pet treats that exist anywhere on the planet. All of the brands go through a rigorous review to make sure they meet the high standards of cleanliness, health benefits, and naturalness. This site was started by a husband and wife team, and it's veteran-owned, and that care about pets, especially dogs and cats, and coming soon, bird treats. These are very nice young people who really care about making a difference because a portion of proceeds go to support veteran organizations with a focus on service dogs. This is the place where you want to go. You want to tell your friends. This has the finest, yummiest, freshest, all-natural treats and stuff for your fur baby. So go there, honestpets.co. HonestPets.co. Do it now. Good day, beautiful, bountiful, beloved, immortal beings, and good-looking people. Remember, you're good-looking because you're always looking for and finding the good. Our cup runneth over with good. And the being called Rabbi Moïse Navon, and he's talking about the how should we say, the blending of God, ethics, engineering, innovation for the benefit of all. Isn't that one of the most ubiquitous items on the planet? Not just your cell phone. An automobile. We'll call it a transport vehicle, or so we'll have to maybe give it a new name. Isn't that interesting, Moise? It may be called something different when your kids and my grandkids are fully grown. They may be calling it they may call it a camel, a gamal. Means that which brings forth benefit. It gives over chesed, it gives over goodness. So as we were talking before the break, Maurice has told us about a couple of things. Number one, that there are now over 100 million chips that are using Mobileye technology that are saving people's lives. They're in cars, and it makes a difference to people's lives, because unfortunately 3,400 people a day around the planet are killed. Not just die, they're killed. This is worse than any pandemic if it continues like this. That's number one. Number two, I want everybody to understand that the company that Moise worked with and for, Mobileye, he was the 16th hire, I believe, was bought in 2017 by Intel for $15 billion. And that was a tiny price because it's now worth 3-4-fold that. But here's what gets also very interesting. One of the sponsors we have is called Talkspace, and they talk about stress, because stress is one of the most ubiquitous problems we all face in life. Is that correct, Moise? Stress. Everybody faces it. And when you're in the process of driving someplace, I think stress is exacerbated, it's increased no matter what situation, even if you're just driving around a country road with your top down in a beautiful fall day. There's stress all around because you're on the road, and especially if it's under difficult circumstances. With the ability for cars to be automated and driven by a computer, imagine stress levels go down. The human condition becomes more fluid, more beneficial. It's such a wonder. The intangible benefits are remarkable. So I want to ask you, please talk to us about a partnership that I think you said Mobileye has with BMW of bringing out a fully automated vehicle. Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Mobileye has a lot of contracts with different people. I mean, the reason that I referred once in one of my talks to about BMW is because they're the first ones who made a contract with us and Intel at the time before they bought us to bring a fully commercially available autonomous vehicle within the next year or so. Today, there's a lot of taxi pilot programs that are being done around the world. Next summer, there's supposed to be an autonomous vehicle pilot program for taxis in Tel Aviv, in Paris, in New York and in Korea, all over the world, there are companies that are signing up to do these pilot programs. They're being basically, in a very specific area for specific drives, and that will allow us to really get to the next stage of autonomous vehicles.
Because if these happen, I guess you're going to call them robo taxis or something like that.
Yes. That's okay. What they're called.
And then not only will they be available when people go in and out and such like that, but the data that will be collected from this enormous amount of data that needs to be crunched and worked on and understood will allow, like you said, to get to level 4 and maybe
and level 5. Yeah, no, but the thing is that I think the data that's going to be collected, there's part of it is what actually helps the autonomous vehicle drive. I mean, Mobileye has a system which does dynamic mapping. That means that there's cameras looking out the front windshield. And so as the car is driving, it's uploading to the cloud what it sees. And then we build a new map. Google made a street map, street view, and they drove around the world and they did it once or they did it twice. They have to renew it. We do it every second. Everywhere, every car that's driving that has the camera in it is uploading the data, and we're rebuilding maps. And so we're able, if there's a pothole that people are going around, we feed that to the next car and it goes around automatically. So yeah, that's data collection that enables or further enables autonomous vehicle, autonomous driving. But there's a lot of data collection that's being done, that's being sold to cities. You know, there's a traffic light out, or there, or like we said, there's a pothole, or whatever is going on in the city can be sent to all of the authorities, whether it's the police or roads authorities or whatever it is. And there are companies in Israel that are working on data collection with all kinds of different devices that are already in the car that say where the car is and where it's going, how fast it's going, why is it stopping, and all that kind of stuff.
Now, can you imagine there's something, vehicle, whatever we're going to call it, we'll call it a car for the moment, though, that instead of everybody facing the same direction, that the people in the front, call it the front, could turn their seats around and be with the people in the back, because you don't need to have your eyes on the road anymore. Right. I mean, the possibilities become so beneficial in terms of, say, like you have, you talk about trains, you know, trucks going along in convoys, as it were, and all the benefits from that. You can do the same thing with, let's say, Amtrak in the United States or other places where there are trains now, where you can have better roads and move people, become people movers in a different way.
Correct.
Could you I'm sorry.
All right, sorry. I'm sorry for interrupting. You mentioned that, you know, there's, if you turn the seats around, and so now we can have like our little social gathering like we're in a train car. The fact of the matter is that it's much more beneficial than just being able to socialize. We now make everybody mobile, right? People that can't see, that couldn't drive, they can go wherever they want. People that are in wheelchairs that they needed extra help and so forth, they're just put on the car and they go where they want by themselves, right? The elderly, the handicapped, the little kids, everybody is just put in the car and goes where they need to go.
Do you happen to know of an incident where something terrible, such as a kid running into the street after a ball, that didn't result in an injury because of Mobileye or something like that?
Do I know? I mean, I know of sort of anecdotal stories. We got an email from a taxi driver in Las Vegas, where he was driving and he couldn't see, and he sent us the dash cam footage and said, "Thank you, you saved my life." There was another guy there was a marketing guy, I think in Peru. He was on some road and a car was coming directly onto him, and the car beeped him, and he was able to see in time and move. People are constantly telling us that we saved their life. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's so real, because we get into this item that hurtles along at ungodly speeds, I'll call it, because you're right, it's all based on human beings who are not just prone to error. Almost by definition, we are error beings. That's part of who we are. The good news is, let's celebrate it. In other words, remove us from being involved in stressful situations where error becomes heightened to a place where you can literally enjoy, as you said, because I've had the experience of being in a wheelchair, of getting mobility. The possibilities are so wondrous. And that's why I'm going to ask you. So you're basically telling us innovation is not just important. It is a necessity in a world where, with billions of people, with, let's be honest, congested cityscapes, and the ability, as you said, to now expand that real estate in a different way, because the ability to get to, let's say, a city center or something like that becomes reduced. You don't have to put in, say, well, it's going to take me an hour and a quarter to get to go 22 miles because it's of the traffic. So
we're just scratching the surface of all the changes that will happen because of autonomous vehicles. Just think that you don't need parking lots, because they all go outside of the city and park and then come to the city in the morning and drive people around. There's many, many things that we could touch upon. But I think what I wanted to touch upon was that you said about the importance of innovation. And really, I think that's the modus operandi of Judaism. You know, we believe that God created the world and he left it unfinished. He left it unfinished on purpose to give us the opportunity to complete the world. And that completing of the world is being done by technology. science and technology are not against creation, that just the opposite. They are helping to complete creation. And so, I think that really what's happening in Israel, that we become known as the startup nation, is very much in our DNA of what's known as tikkun olam, of fixing the world. Now, again, technology in the hands of the wrong people can do terrible things. And so that's where, you know, the framework of ethics comes into the picture. But no question that innovation and creativity, I mean, Rav Soloveitchik is famous for interpreting the word Salem Elohim as being creative like God. And there's many, many interpretations of Salem Elohim, and I don't want to lock it into the image of God as one thing, but he does use that as this idea that we're basically created to be creative.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing so, we complete the creation.
So let's touch upon a very delicate area. Israel, the country, great force for good that it is, in our opinions, is surrounded by hostile nations that in some level are hostile because they don't know why. They're hostile because that's what they're taught. But these hostile nations, especially one that will go unnamed for the moment, which thank God is still 1,000 plus miles away, 1,500 miles away, but it has armed to the teeth neighbors that are close. Is there a possibility, and again, we don't have to spend a lot of time in this, but just to get a sense for me of less stress, that some of this technology can be used not just to see through fog and things like that, but to, let's say, repel incoming missiles, to be able to be used in such a way that lasers can be used to protect people, protect areas, et cetera, et cetera. Defensive rather than offensive.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, I'm not involved in the development of any of those kind of weapons, but the fact of the matter is that everything that can be used to destroy can be used to help. It's a matter of us deciding what we're going to do with the technologies that are in our hands. I mean, look, you can take an airplane and fly to see your grandmother, or you can fly it into a building. You know, every technology has its positive and its negative uses. And, you know, thank God Israel has been developing technologies and bracketing them within ethical uses since the foundation of the state.
Right, because as you say, it's important, mandatory to speak it out right now. This is part and parcel of the DNA of Judaism. Not Judaism. Judaism is the study of Judy. Judaism is the study of what we call Yahadus, the oneness of God. And when we are charged as Jews to bring forth into the world the creative modalities that will be of benefit in every aspect of life, saving lives, bringing forth life, and let's say with new technologies and IVF and the ability for births, and to let's say bring forth onto the planet that which we know we can do, which is, in the words of Isaiah, that peace will be, that the lips of the people will say, peace, peace unto those who are far and those who are near. And that's really what we want to do, what I believe you made your life mission now. And thank God that the good Lord has given you the wherewithal in terms of monetary benefits to be able to focus your energies on these very crucial aspects as the revolution continues. Now, we talk about revolution, we're talking about the innovative revolution of bringing forth into the world positive, purposeful, powerful, pleasant aspects. So we only have a few more minutes because time does go by fast. In our world, we know it's called Torah Umada, Mada'a. Torah is, for want of a better term, for people who are watching around the world who have no idea what we're talking about, T-O-R-A-H. It's really the first five books of Moses, the five books of the Bible, plus all the writings and the people are familiar with the Psalms and the Proverbs and the Song of Songs. These are eternal aspects of life. They're not ancient. Matter of fact, we use the word awe. Awe Moise is a great acronym that stands for Ancient Wisdom Educates. That's what awe stands for. And the more that one gravitates towards the awesomeness of the Creator and that information that has been given over to us to become innovative and creative and to exploit it in the most positive sense, that's really what the Jewish nation is about, the Jewish people are about. So I'd like us to leave on a sort of a very high note and talk about the idea of philosophy, because there are really three questions in life. Who am I? Why am I here? Now, what do I do? Right? So it's only a few more minutes, but let's just go to, you know, that interesting question that you had to ask when you were growing up, because you did not grow up in the same mindset that you have at the moment. And you asked, who am I?
What am I doing? Correct. That's true. I mean, basically, that question came to me when I was about 7 or 8 years old. I found out that people die. And so I said, so we're not here forever. So why are we here? I mean, what's the point, right? Why are we here? And, you know, I didn't get any answers at home. And I began to, you know, do what people do in LA and just have a good time. But then I thought about the question a bit more. And I said, you know, when you die, you are so gone that you don't even know you ever existed. So what's the point of having a good time and running around? I mean, we need an answer. I need an answer. And I didn't get an answer till I started working at JPL for a friend of the family. And he was a religious Jew. And he told me, he said, look, we're the Jewish people believes that there's a purpose. We believe there's a creator. We believe you have a soul and you're here to fix the world. So that's basically what I got onto. It took me a long time to get where I am today, that I'm actually a rabbi and I'm actually getting my PhD in philosophy, or Jewish philosophy, I should say. You know, it's a long path, but I really feel that this is the right path, certainly for me.
And the benefit is for the world. You see, the genius of life is the power of one person, Moise. That's really what happens. You know, if you read the Bible, anybody who likes it, you know the story of Adam and Eve, of course. But the point is that there was one person, the power of one person. I use it as a fun acronym. I call it dog poop.
Okay.
Dog poop stands for doing of good, power of one person. One person standing up, reaching out a hand to another, to another, to another, to another. And that's really what your life, thank God, has been about, and what we want to do, and what we're here to do. When you ask yourself, who am I? And now, why? And then what do? The exhilaration, that releasing of energy, literally can make a difference in the world. You can go mad. So we have only a few more minutes. Moise, I'm going to ask you three questions, please. Ready?
Okay. Yeah.
Number one, will you come back again?
Come back to the show.
Yes.
I'm sure.
Thank you. Number two.
Yeah, if you have more questions, yeah.
I have more. There's lots of questions. Number two. Okay. You have 80 seconds only to answer this. What is your most fervent desire?
Mashiach. Mashiach.
Nobody knows what that means. We have hundreds of thousands of people around the world.
What it means is the end game. It means that the whole world recognizes that there's a creator, that we're here to fix the world, that we're here to live in harmony. Everybody finally understands that we're not working against each other. We're working together for one purpose, to live in happiness.
Thank you. And now the third question is, may I give you a hug in front of 372,000 people around the world?
Of course.
Okay, let me tell you what HUG stands for. HUG is an acronym that stands for Heartfelt Unlimited Giving, because that's what you've been talking about. Heartfelt Unlimited Giving. 1, 2, 3. And of course, you've been listening to The Joy of Living with your humble host, Barry Shore, and everything you want to know about our amazing guest, and he is, go to barryshore.com. It's all there. I urge you, listen again and share this with at least five people so we'll touch over 1.5 million people around the planet. Remember, you tuned in for one reason only, because you're caring the most in the whole world about you. This show is great as Rabbi Moise Lavon is. It's not about him. It's not about Barry Shore. It's about you. Y-O-U. Becoming the best you possible. And when you do that, you make the world a better place. And you live with the three fundamentals of life. Number one, life. Your life has purpose. You lead a purpose-driven life. You go mad. You make a difference. Number three, you unlock the power and the secrets of everyday words and terms. And the result is you'll be happier, healthier, and wealthier. And we guarantee it, right, Moise? And remember, use those simple words, WWW, what a wonderful world. Smile, seeing miracles in life every day. Or as my 8-year-old niece says, seeing miracles in everyday life. Create the kind of world you want to live in, causing rethinking, as Moise has taught us about innovation, enabling all to excel. Use 4-letter words, because we live in the world of the positive, purposeful, powerful, and pleasant. Love, life, hope, grow, free, play, pray, swim, good. And tell the world to F you, capital N, capital N. What? Yes, you say, Barry Shore taught me. I want to tell the world, F you, capital N, capital N. You have to have fun in life in order to be able to bring out innovation in your life. And use the two most powerful words, consciously and conscientiously, 3 times a day, from now forever. Those words are thank you, thank you, thank you, to harmonize and network kindness. So our blessing from Rabbi Moise Lavon and Barry Shore is go forth, live exuberantly, spread the seeds of joy, happiness, peace, and love. Go mad. Go make a difference. Moise, don't go away, okay?
Okay. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Joy of Living podcast. Now that's another step towards your healthier, happier, and wealthier life. Never hesitate to do good in the world, no matter what the situation. Join us for another upbeat discussion next time at barryshore.com. And be sure to leave a rating and subscribe to the show to get more conversations like this. And remember to share it with your family and friends too. See you on the next episode.